Good morning. Janice's encounter with her friend is a extreme case, perhaps. We don't have too many people wandering around who think they've outgrown their need for hope. It's something like thinking you've outgrown your need for reason. I used to think I had to have a reason for things. Now I just do what I please. I'm mature. Maybe. But the question, however it gets phrased, or doesn't get phrased, arises for everybody. And it's an important point that Peter makes. Be ready. Have an answer ready. When people ask you about the hope that is in you. And they will, because it's a question that everybody asks, some sincerely, some as a brush off, some consciously, some unconsciously. It's a question that comes to everybody's mind. Why are you bothering? Why should I bother? Is it worth it? Does it have a point? And that's a terribly important question now, because now we have our hands on the tiller of cosmic evolution. For the first 13 billion years or so of evolution, we weren't around, not even as our remotest ancestors. Most of evolution, after all, was not biological but physical. A lot of it happened in that first couple of milliseconds, as energy began to coalesce and form itself in various fairly primitive forms of matter. And matter slowly evolved. It was billions of years before life broke through, and millions more before life came anywhere near consciousness. But finally, consciousness emerged. Homo sapiens was on the planet. But then for a couple hundred thousand years, we were passengers on the ship. We had no control over it. We just tried to survive. Tried to dodge the saber-toothed tiger. Tried to claim a niche for ourselves. Tried to survive. Pass on our genes. Past few thousand years, though, we're no longer passengers on this ship. We're the crew. We're the captain on the bridge with the chart and the compass. We're the guys at the wheel. We're the ones up in the ropes setting sail. The ones with a strong back leaning on the tiller to make it turn, hold its course. Evolution will happen or not happen or mishappen on our decision. It will do what we make it do. We have to decide individually, collectively, whether we will make peace or war, whether we will make justice or injustice, whether we will make a sustainable planet or turn this place into a charred ruin. And the whole rest of evolution, at least on this planet, is cargo in the hold now. Biology can't adapt fast enough to keep up with us. The pace of physical evolution has been totally overtaken by the pace of sociological, technological evolution. We control the ship. And what do we do with it? Well, I guess first of all, we have to decide whether or not we really want to crew it at all. I mean, running Ratlins is not only hard work, it's dangerous work. You can fall off of that rope. You ever seen guys do that? 1976, the bicentennial, we had the Gorge Falk here, one of their sailing ships that came in. It was the captain's last tour, and he was going home to Germany and turning the ship over. He was going out with a blaze of glory. He declined tugs, turned off his motor at the Chesapeake Bay Bridge, came up the bay and docked at the seawall in the inner harbor under sail. Well, not only did he have to be pretty skillful and pretty gutsy, his crew had to be pretty skillful and pretty gutsy up there on the top pulling those ropes. Then the German president was in town. Well, there's always a big dinner at the White House and then a return dinner at the embassy. But since they had a piece of sovereign German, well, territory, if not soil, sitting here 40 miles away, they had the return dinner aboard the Gorge Falk. So here was his real chance to show off. When the motorcade came up the highway, he gave the German equivalent of all hands aloft. The sailors ran up the ratlins and ran out and stood on the yard arms. Now, the guy standing on the mainmast, which is about yay big around, wasn't too bad off. The guy standing on the fore topgallant royal, which is about that big around, had a little tougher. Standing there, not moving. Then when they came aboard, they brought him to attention and present arms. And if that wasn't enough for you, then he ordered three cheers. That's back to parade rest. Wave your cap in the air. You could fall off of that and get killed. Well, imagine doing that in a storm at sea. That's sort of what nature is asking of us, you know. You're going to get out there on it to take that kind of stuff? You really going to crew this vessel? Well, why? Why should we bother? Is it really going anywhere? Is it really worth all the effort? And a lot of people have said, well, not that I can tell. So they've bailed out. They simply stopped being crew. They're passengers aboard this ship. They're going to lie in their cabins on the deck, nibble on a grape, enjoy the sea breeze, and wait and see what happens. When poor people do this, they trouble, mostly drop out into a culture of drugs, and a culture of violence, and the rest of the world stands sort of aghast. When rich people do this, it's much more civilized. They drop out into a culture of consumerism, materialism, and it's the bigger house and the bigger car and the fancier vacation. You know the folks. They're not bad people, but they're terribly shallow. And the life gets emptier and emptier as their closets get fuller and fuller. Because they have no hope. They have no reason to crew the ship of evolution. They're not going to put their shoulder to the tiller. It's hard work. They're just going to enjoy what they can while they can and let nature take its merry course. And you know, if all there is for us at the end of this whole voyage is the law of entropy, maybe they're right. Why bother? Eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. That's a reasonable conclusion in a world without hope. So we need to have a ready reason when people ask us about the hope that is in us. Why are you straining at the wheel rather than resting in your cabin? Why are you pulling on the tiller rather than nibbling on a grape? What's the point? John is saying, here's the point. The point is that the resurrection of Jesus Christ is not an isolated fact of history. It's not something that happened to him then and there. It's something that happens to me here and now. And the reason is this. While he walked this earth, he was limited to a little point of time in a little point of space, but once died and raised. Once he has, like the grain of wheat, fallen into the earth and died, he now produces much fruit. And he is the point of contact and the point of unity between us and each other and us and God. After three chapters of telling the disciples about that in this sort of roundabout pancake, let me add another image to the stack type of discourse. In this last chapter, he now turns directly to God and prays the same theme. That they may be one, Father, even as we are. He's been saying all the way through the gospel, I am in the Father is in me. And now he's saying, I am in you, and you are in me. This is possible only here, the discourse the night before he dies. Because it becomes real only in his death and resurrection. Without that, he's just another character in a history book for me. But the living Christ, the Christ who has been raised up, he can be in me and I can be in him. And because we are in each other, because we are one as Jesus and God are one, then we are one with Jesus God. I'm ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. And that is our hope. That is our assurance. That God is on our side. Not my side, my religion, my politics, my what. But our side. The side of the human race. The side of the cosmic project. We still have to work it out and fight it out as to whether I'm more on God's side than you are on this issue or that. That's all secondary. But God is on the side of the cosmic project. God is on the side of what it is that the human race is about. God is the driving force behind this 13 billion years of evolution. And God will not let it fail to bear fruit. So the ship is going somewhere. There is a port. It is worth getting to. And it is worthwhile to put your shoulder to the tiller, to run the ratlins, to set the sails, to do all the hard work of crewing the ship. Know it. Believe it. Think it through. And have it ready as an answer when the people, whether they come from the culture of violence or the culture of drugs or the culture of consumerism or the culture of power, when they look at you funny and ask, why are you different? What is the reason for the hope that is in you? Have an answer ready. As Peter says, not an overwhelming answer. Don't beat him over the head. Be gentle and respectful about it. But an answer that bears witness to the power of God that you have found in the risen Christ. Sisters and brothers, let us pray.